Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Soul in the City, and this is Linda, and it is Monday night life class. Welcome, UOM and UOS students, to the life class. I have opened up this Monday night class for students just as a time for us to ask questions, to answer questions, to meet some of the graduates and some of the students. I hope that some of the students, and wherever you are in the program, and you want to just meet, interact, for us to ask questions and that kind of thing. If you okay, it's Linda, and I've had some technical difficulty. There has been a storm in my little area, and it's kind of knocked our cable out a little bit. So just go past any technical difficulties. I'm going to try to do the show. If there are more than one, we will redo the show. And my guest tonight is Spring Wolf, who is awesome. If you've been on the IMM page, then you know that she always gets great advice. And it's helpful to us. So, Spring Wolf, hi.
Hi. Call me Spring. It's a lot easier.
You are still there, hanging in there with me.
I'm still hanging in there.
Through it all, as they say. You're hanging in through it all. We're going to go on with whatever comes that may, and then I'm going to probably have to have you back if you will agree to do that. I'm putting you on the air. That's pressure.
Sure.
So we'll just make sure that we do that to the subject of your choice. Well, I'm going to just go on into it because I want to get the information out to as many students as want to listen or chat. And I probably already have somebody on the chat line already, so I'm just going to go ahead and looking at their question. And I will incorporate, because it's one of the questions, so just wait a minute, and I will incorporate that in our questions. And tell us about you and how you got to the whole UOS or UOM program and how that came about. So can you tell us a little bit about you and how your journey to the program came?
I hate talking about me. I am a graduate of the University of Sedona. I have a doctorate in divinity and a doctorate in the philosophy of psychology, spiritual psychology. That's my thing. So I have two doctorates from the University of Sedona. But I started my spiritual journey an awful long time ago. I'm old, so it's been an awfully long time. And even though I'm pagan and in my community, you know, I've done a lot of teaching and, you know, shared things that I have learned with others, I never felt like I myself had an authority that backed up what it was that I knew. I didn't have that piece of paper. And for some reason, having that piece of paper was important to me. No one else cared about it but me. So when I started looking around for some place to, you know, some place that would accentuate what I already knew from pagan perspectives, I came to the University of Metaphysics, and the more I read about it and the more I, you know, read about other people and their experiences there, the more I turned towards the University of Sedona that had more of what I was looking for. And I got an awful lot out of the program, even though I already knew a lot about the topics that were presented through the programs. There's still a lot of things that filled in some things I didn't think about, and I really liked it. So anybody that's interested in, you know, doing the program that hasn't signed up yet, I would strongly encourage them to. It's very good for self-discovery and for your own research and, you know, your own confidence. It's a good program. How's that?
It is a good program. I'm really learning a lot, and I'm not from a Christian perspective, but I kind of believe it's beyond what your spiritual path is. It's really finding out about you and then how to help others.
Well, I think metaphysics itself is the basis of a lot of different religions, a whole lot. I don't think any of this stuff is new. I think it's been around for a long time. It's been talked about for a long time. And, you know, it's just, you know, putting it into a perspective that rings true with you is really what matters.
Right. And I so agree with you, really, totally. Now, writing your thesis, that's the big thing. And a lot of people that I'm reading as I go through the IMM page, our little Facebook page, is that a lot of people are having a hard time picking a subject for their thesis. What suggestions would you have for those who are having a hard time with that?
Well, you know, the problem, the biggest problem is, what are you going to write about, whether it's your thesis or your dissertation or, you know, anything in life? You're going to sit down and write an article. What are you going to write an article about? Coming up with a topic is always the hardest part. So what I suggest people do is sit down, have a little meditation, go within, you know, connect with whatever that higher force is in your life, great spirits, spirit guides, ghosts, you know, Aunt Zelma, whoever you want to talk to, you know, just sit down and talk and say, what should I pursue that's going to interest me? If you're not interested in it, you're not going to want to research it, and you're most definitely not going to want to write about it. So what would interest me, and what do I need to know at this time and space in my life? That's the biggest thing. If you pick a topic that you already know about, you could probably sit down and write it and find a whole lot of research about it, but how interested are you going to be in something that you already know? If you try to write about something that's way out there, that maybe you're the only person that has an interest in, then you're not going to find enough resources to be able to help you write your paper. But if you try to ask yourself, your inner spiritual self, what do I need to know at this time in my life that I need to research and write about, you're probably going to come up with some great topics. That would be my first suggestion.
That is great, and I think that is really important to go about it. I know that has helped me to find out. Some of it has been to help me find out what I want to know and what's working with me. So I think that is awesome. I know a lot of
the other thing. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. You go ahead.
Well, I think a lot of the things, you know, sometimes people get so stuck and hung up on what am I going to write about that they, you know, you work yourself into a frenzy and you can't do anything. And if you get to that point where you have tried to do a meditation and you've tried to figure out what you want to write about, or you've looked at the things on your desks and the books in your bookshelves and nothing is coming to you, then just start the paper. You know, at some point, you're going to have to put your thoughts on paper. And if you just take the time to sit down, you know, get into whatever word processing package you're going to use, so that you can formulate the document itself so that it's ready for when you do come up with the idea, you just start writing. Even just that process of getting the document ready, setting up the pages and the title and the table of contents, just the mechanics of doing that can kind of get some juices flowing within people that they'll start to relax. I can do this. This isn't going to be that big of a deal. It's not that hard. And, you know, you can relax yourself enough that maybe those ideas that you're not seeing that are sitting in front of you will all of a sudden pop out at you.
That's
so it's
good.
Like taking thought and putting it into practice.
And I know a lot of people, it's a good thing that some people have even taken whatever their thesis or dissertation and turned them into e-books.
Right.
I think that is a lot of research, and that would be the sort of like a next best thing if you could do that.
Right. Absolutely.
Yes. And I think you recently wrote an article about all of this. Is there some tips from your article that you want to share about?
Well, you can find the article on my business website at springs as in plural, springshaven.com. You can just follow the links and go to the article section, and you'll find a link to the writing your thesis page. The biggest thing is, you know, you just have to start putting it into motion. You know, if you don't have a topic, then you do know that there's a format that you have to follow. It doesn't matter if it's at the University of Metaphysics or Sedona or, you know, the University of Virginia. Every college, every university system has got some format that you have to meet when you hand in your thesis or your dissertation. So if you don't already have that from the school, then you need to contact them, find out what the format is going to be, and then sit down and start putting those things into your PC, you know, and set things up so that you're ready to go when you're ready to start writing. Then when you do start writing, a lot of people have a hard time thinking about what am I going to have that first opening line at. Don't even worry about it, because you're going to change it 5 million times between now and when you hand it in. The best thing to do is just go to the section of the document that allows you to start writing about your topic, the essay part. Just sit down and start writing what you already know, what you think you know about the topic once you've got it. If you're going to write about karma, what do you think you know about karma now before you have even started doing your research? Just write down a few things that you think, read them over, change them, update them. You're going to do that in the entire time that you're doing research, because the more you learn, the more your ideas and perceptions of this topic are going to change. So don't worry about what the opening line is. That opening line is going to come probably 7 or 8 edits into the document. The other big thing to think about is you're going to read this document 100 times. It's going to get boring by the time you get done. You just want to get it finished. But every time you read it, you're going to change it, update it, find mistakes. You're going to add to it, you're going to take stuff out of it, and you're going to reword everything that you wrote those first couple of times so that when you are completely done and satisfied with it, you will have read it and changed it at least 100 times. And don't get frustrated. Yeah, that's the biggest thing. Don't get frustrated.
And for me, I feel like I know the information, putting it into the words that I want. So that was really helpful. And now I'm just kind of to the point, I'm just starting to write and let it just flow out, you know, and seeing what comes out and then re-editing. So I guess that everybody has their process that works best for them, and you have to go through that writing process. I know on IML, on the page, some people had something about the dissertation and the thesis, and I guess they wanted to use their thesis as the lead-in to whatever they were going to write about their dissertation. And I just wanted to put that out there, because I'm sure that I had read in our literature that it has to be a completely different subject. Do you know anything about that?
I do believe it should be a different subject. I think the ones that I have seen where it's a continuation of the thesis, the thesis is a very high-level overview. For instance, it might be a high-level overview of what that person believes metaphysics to be, and then the dissertation is a more drilled-down branch of that into some other topic. But it draws from the thesis into the dissertation, but the dissertation is really, you know, even in that context, it's really kind of a different subject matter, if that makes sense.
It does make sense, and I think I'm just trying to help some people, because I know that a couple of people had asked that question about, you know, is it a whole other topic that you're going on or what? And I just feel like even going through the bachelor's program, which I've kind of finished all of that, and I'm kind of starting, I haven't really mailed it in yet, I'm kind of going through some things, but even going through that is a way to pick out some topics, because what kind of pulls to you, sometimes there's something sometimes in there that pulls to you that you can use that. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, I think whatever is happening in your life on that particular day can be an interesting subject to write about. That's
yeah.
the way I look at every day. Somebody will say something. Somebody will ask you a question. Somebody will post something on Facebook that, you know, they grab from somebody else's Facebook page. And all of a sudden, an idea pops into your head. Well, I have a thought about that. And then all of a sudden, you have a topic. So, you know, the topics that, you know, people worry so much about what I'm going to write about that they don't just start writing. Just
right.
do it. Let it flow through you. Whatever you think you're going to say, what am I going to write about today? Well, then think about what's going on in your life that day, and maybe you'll come up with a topic.
I think that's really good. I think that is pretty wise. And
well, I think a lot of people try to – I'm sorry. I think a lot of people try so hard to come up with the perfect topic, and they you know, it's not that hard. You know, if you stop and think about what's going on in your life, what spiritual things that you're going through at that particular time in your life, you'll find the topic. The topic will come to you. I think the harder part is actually sitting down and doing the research. How are you going to take what you have read and formulate it in your own words onto paper or a screen? You know, I'm old, on paper.
On the screen or on paper, what are your suggestions about the research? About, because, you know, I'm going through reading books and I'm getting information. How did you pull all of that together? Even
well, you know, you've got Google. Google is a great place to be. Sit down and
right.
Google your topic and find out what comes up. Now, there's a lot of crap on the Internet. Everybody knows that. There's a lot of BS. People say they have read something and then they've turned it around that's completely different from what they've read. Well, one of the good things about doing your research on the Internet first is that you can find resources to go to the library or go to the bookstore and find out about. That's the biggest thing I think the Internet can help people when they're writing a thesis or a dissertation. Go to Amazon, do a search on whatever you think your topic is and see what books come up. Maybe those are books that you can find at the library. Maybe you can find them at the bookstore. But at least when you're going into the bookstore, you're not going in blind. You're going in with a list of books that you might want to look for. And when you get there and you look at them, the first thing to do is to look at the bibliographies of those books. Where did they get their information from? Did they make it up out of their head? Is it just something that they do and they're trying to put down on paper what their perception of whatever the topic is, or did they actually do research that's based on, you know, some valid research of others?
That is
Does
good.
That make sense?
After, you know, the research to me is kind of boggling your mind and time-consuming, but getting through it, and I think that they suggest 5 or 6 books. What do you suggest? How much research would you say? Like, because after a while, you're like, wow, okay, now I got to get all this together and put it on paper.
Well, you know, 5 just isn't enough. 5 opinions just isn't enough. 10, you might be getting close. 25, you might be going overboard depending on what the topic is. You know, mm-hmm. I think 25 is a good number. 20 is a good number.
And
going
that includes
things.
And I'm making it as simple as possible because I'm hoping I'm helping a lot of people with the research part of it, doing that. So
right. Now, if you're writing your dissertation or your thesis with the intent of turning it into an e-book, then I would say the more research you have or the better resources you have is probably better for selling your book. But for just writing the paper for, you know, the University of Metaphysics or Sedona, you know, 20 to 25 is probably a good place to go.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That sounds good. And then, you know, there's always the time constraints. I know some people are probably trying to get through the program in that year. That's really the time. It's really not my concern. It's just about getting it done and accomplishing this for myself. What do you say about putting time constraints on yourself, you know, to pace yourself in order to get through?
Well, everybody has got a different agenda, Everybody's got different times. Some people are doing this after work. Some people don't have a job. Some people have a part-time job. So, and some people have kids that they have to take care of and they don't have the time. So, you know, it all depends on who you are, what you've got going on in your life. But if you can spend, you know, evenings after you put the kids to bed, but, you know, 2 hours a night on doing some reading or some research, even if you're still just working on your bachelor's, you know, just 2 hours a night instead of watching TV, spend on answering your questions and doing your essays and, you know, coming up with some information. You know, 2 hours a night is not that big of a deal, and, you know, there really isn't anything on TV nighttime anymore, especially in March.
No.
I'm sorry. I don't like March Madness.
Not looking at television for a while, it becomes easier to do some other positive things in order to get finished. So I think really just managing the time and making that important, because I had said something about that last week. I didn't really have a guest. I just kind of talked about one of the things that I needed to do was to manage my time, and this was important to me. So I had to bring that time and make sure that it was important to me.
Right. Well, you know, everybody is, you know, there are things that are imperative. You know, if you've got a sick kid, that's imperative. There are things that may be more important than this during the day or during the week. So it all depends on every person and what it is that they're going through. There's a lady that I know that's going through the program who she took leave from work because her mom has cancer. So she stays at home with her mom, and her mom is in a stage where she sleeps a lot. So she's got a lot of time in the day to, you know, keep check on her mom, make sure her mom is doing okay. But then she sits around and, you know, she's done the housework, she's done the dishes, she's done all the stuff in the house, and she's got nothing to do. She could either sit there and watch, you know, television all day, or she turns the TV off and sits in front of her computer and plays all day. Well, she has decided to spend that time on something that she has always wanted to do, and that's become a minister. So she spends that time in the day when she's got nothing to do, trying to be productive and going through the program. So every person is going to have their own story like that for what it was they did to get through the program.
And I love that. And even when you're done, you turn it in, and the next step. For some people are still asking the question about, now what am I going to do with this next? I see you've incorporated, you already knew what you were doing, and so it just complemented what you were already doing. What suggestions
right.
do you have once you've graduated, you're a metaphysician, now what?
Well, you know, the first time you turn it in, it may come back. That would be the first thing I would tell you. My first thesis came back because I wasn't 100% sure on the format that was required, and I couldn't find an example, so I tried to do the best I can, and it came back. And they told me what was wrong with it, and I fixed it, and I sent it back in. It's not devastating. You're not going to get it back and be told, no, you're not going to graduate. Great.
I hadn't thought about that. It might come back.
Yeah, it could come back. Sorry, my walking around phone battery is about to die. See if I can get the other one to work.
I have a caller. Spring Wolf, so I'm going to take the caller, if you don't mind.
Okay, go ahead.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, is this caller? Hello? Well, they're not saying anything. I don't know if we're having problems. Hello, caller, you're on the air. Well, you can always call back, or I have the chat line open. Again, the caller, the first caller, do you want to say anything? Okay, Springwood, I'm going to let you keep on and hold that person on the line.
Okay.
Seeing that sometimes we can get them back.
Yeah, sometimes you can get them back. And you can get them back for a variety of reasons. You know, if you forget to spell check, you might get it back. If you don't have good grammar, you might get it back. If you have, you know, one or two typos, they're probably not going to care. You know, if your format isn't right, if you haven't formatted your bibliography correctly, you know, little things, little technical, mechanical things can have it come back. But, you know, don't let it devastate you. Just fix it and send it back in. And if it comes back again, fix it and send it back in.
You get it right.
You know? You got plenty of times. I don't know how many times they give you, but I got a feeling you got plenty of times.
I think that they will work with you. They seem like that kind of place that they are basically there to help metaphysicians get out into the world and be the world changers that they are. So I think that
right.
they will work with you. And I just really feel that if it's been more than one time, if you called somebody, they would probably get you through. I really feel like, for me, having been on the Facebook pages has really been a benefit to me because I learned so much off of the IMM page and other pages, even this Sedona University of Sedona page. I just get a lot of information from people as they're passing it on. So I would really suggest, how do you feel about, you know, just even being involved in the group?
When you're around like-minded people or people that are going through the same thing that you're going through, it's always helpful to ask them and not be afraid to ask and not think that a question that you have is stupid. No questions are stupid. The only question that's stupid is the question that's not asked. And let me tell you, I've had some pretty off-the-wall questions. You know, I give you one. Being pagan, one of the first questions people will ask you is, if you're a witch, do you fly around on a broom? My response now is, no, I lost it in a storm cloud. They're not as soft as you think they are.
Mm-hmm.
So you
I'm
can
sure
take
you...
questions. You can take questions any way you want. You can let them piss you off, or you can, you know, turn them around into something funny that allows you to start a conversation and corrects misconceptions. Or you can learn from the question and share what you have learned with others.
Right. And I even feel like, as, you know, being in metaphysics, that part of what we do is to educate people on what that is.
Right.
And how it works spiritually.
Right.
So clear on that, even. And even with your thesis or your dissertation, just, you know, doing something that, if you know that you have an interest in there, like some people are taking this to become life coaches. Me, I'm on a spiritual path, and pastoral or spiritual counseling will probably be the next thing for us. For those who kind of know what they want to do with it, would you say gearing your thesis to something into those areas or whatever area you kind of have an interest in that answers the question for you is kind of like what you're saying is the best, right?
Yeah. My biggest thing about having those letters behind your name doesn't necessarily mean you're an expert. So if your whole idea is to get those letters behind your name so that you can hang up a shingle and say that I am now a spiritual coach or a life coach or I am now someone who is authorized to do spiritual counseling, don't think that you actually have the knowledge to do that, because you may not. Just because you have that degree in your hand and you have those letters behind your name doesn't necessarily mean you're qualified to do what it is that you've set out to do right now. You still have a lot of learning to do. The best thing that I would suggest for those people that want to turn their degree into a business or a profession is that you find someone in your area who is already doing that and find out if they're willing to take you on as an apprentice, to teach you what it is that they have learned, because there's a lot of things out there that aren't in books. You know, there's a big difference between going to a therapist who is a rape counselor and going to a therapist who has been raped and become a counselor. It's not that the first one is bad, but the second one has more of a perspective of what you're going through, so you can talk to them and say things without saying them. So everybody is different. They have to find out what their niche is. They have to find out how they are going to approach helping people, because if the whole idea is that you want to help other people, then you need to learn how many people out there are going to have thousands of different stories, and do you have one answer for all of those thousands, or do you have 1,000 answers? Mm-hmm. And you're not going to know that from a book. that comes from experience.
That
probably sounded real arrogant.
Well, no, I think it is true. You know, my day job is that I'm a hospice nurse, and counselor, basically. That would be a lot of the experience that I do feel like going through that every day, doing that, helping people through the most difficult time a lot of times in their life, adds to where I want to go. And I'm like you, this degree is just really adding to, it doesn't solidify a lot of this. Some things I've come to learn, it's helping me in the learning process and growing process for me. It's sort of like organizing my knowledge base is kind of what I say sometimes.
Right. I think people know a lot more than they give themselves credit for. And there's
right.
a lot of people that already have experience in some areas of what they want to do. They're a Reiki healer, or they've been a psychic reader, or, you know, they're already working in a church somewhere. There's a lot of people that are going into the program that are already what you might call an expert, but they may not think they're an expert because they feel like they don't have a degree, which was my case. And then there are people that are thinking, you know, this is what I want to do, this is where I'm going to start. And they don't have the experience behind them. But
right.
everybody, even though we're at a different level, we all still know a whole lot more than we give ourselves credit for. And I think these programs, biggest thing that they do is help us to realize, yes, I do know this stuff. Yes, I can do this stuff. Yes, I am ready to take on, you know, the responsibilities and the accountabilities that go along with talking to someone and helping them through troubled times or good times. You know, there's a lot of people on our little Facebook page that are talking about the weddings that they have done. You know, there's always good sides to this, just as there are, you know, the people that you're trying to help. Not everybody's struggling when they come to you.
This is true. And there will be good things, and that, you know, and those things where you are walking along beside somebody to kind of help them through some time, both times.
Right.
In doing this, the thesis or the dissertation, whichever path you're on, talk about the dissertation. What do you feel like it is a little bit different for that versus the thesis?
I think the dissertation needs to be something that's a little more in-depth and detailed.
Mm-hmm.
I think your thesis can be something that's, you know, you're above the forest and this is what the forest is and where the forest is. But when you're doing your dissertation, you need to talk about the trees and the plants and the animals that are in the forest. You need to come to a little bit more details. So I think it's a little more involved, and that's going to require a little bit more research and thought about what you're going to write about.
I like it, and that does help hopefully a lot of us get through the program. And I usually ask everybody that comes on the program, because I know it was a big thing on IMM, we're talking about our degrees and that, you know, this institution versus, like, more the accredited institution. I don't have a problem because this institution has what I need to help me as a minister. And it takes the knowledge base that I need in metaphysics and takes it. But how do you feel when you're presenting yourself to the public with these degrees and it comes up? What would be your recommendations for people in presenting their degrees if you're in practice or whatever?
Well, you know, I think when you're marketing your skills, that's the time to talk about your degrees and what you've learned. When you're just talking to people, I don't think talking about your degrees is, what's the word? I don't necessarily think that's something that you need to do. If they ask you about, you know, where did you get your knowledge, where did you get your degree, then answer them. You know, they're not questioning your knowledge. They're just trying to find out, you know, are you someone that has actually taken the time to do research and to write papers and to be tested? You know, have you gone through all of that collegiate kind of work in order to say that you know what you know? It's more for them to, just like all of us are sitting there saying, what is the difference between accreditation and non-accreditation? In reality, the only difference is one of them gets federal money and the other one doesn't. That's all it comes down to.
That's and you know what? That's absolutely right. And that's probably one of the better answers that I've gotten. And just to present yourself, because really people just want to know, where did you get your knowledge base from, like you said.
Right.
It's really good. Yeah. Okay, and I think that kind of helped it. I think that you have given us some really good tips. I know that you have some websites, and I know you have a blog. I think I've read your blog a couple of times. So tell us about that so we can know a little bit and can read up on your websites and your blog a little bit.
Well, springwolf.net is my blog. I started it because of my book. I wrote a book, Pagan Metaphysics 101, The Beginning of Enlightenment. It's available at Schiffer Publishing. Please, go buy it. Okay, so, you know, everybody that becomes an author and has a book, most publishers are going to rely on you as an author to market your book, market you, you know, setting up, you know, what do you call those things, signings, book signings and stuff. So you need to have something that keeps your name out there, and that's what springwolf.net is for me. It's a place where I can, you know, keep my name going out there. I write articles a couple times a week, at least I try to write them a couple times a week, and I, you know, send them on Twitter, and I put them on Facebook, and I talk about them on radio programs so that, you know, basically so people will buy my book.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I do. I sit around all day and I write.
That's highlighting.
I write and I talk to people.
And so you did well. I like it. I think you did a good job. And is there any last suggestions, tips, tidbits that you want to pass on to us before we end the program?
You know, my biggest thing about people that are coming out of metaphysics is to remind everybody that there is no one way to doing anything. It doesn't matter if you're part of, you know, coming from a Christian background into metaphysics, or if you're in New Thought, or if you're pagan, or if you're anything. It doesn't matter what label you put on it. No one person's perspective is wrong. That perspective is right for them. And if you think about it that way, even if you don't agree with them, you'll have a lot better chance being successful in a spiritual career, because you will be living what you're preaching. If you're going to preach love and kindness and care for everyone, then you can't go through doing that by telling somebody that what they believe is wrong, or that what they believe is negative, or what they believe doesn't fit with what they're claiming their title or their spiritual label is. That's being hypocritical. If you're going to be in metaphysics, then all perspectives are valid. That is the biggest thing that I would tell people.
And I think that's good, because my grandmother always said, you know, when you're talking to people, it's like going to dinner. Some things you put on the plate, baby, and some things you don't. It doesn't, but you still eat dinner with everybody. And I kind of,
right.
I use metaphysics that, you know, I may not agree with everything you're saying. We come from different worlds, different perspectives. I want to hear what you're saying. Tell me, you know, and I come from that perspective. And I don't have to agree with everything, but at least we're having dialogue.
And, you know, sometime along the way, I have a really good Christian friend who I'm she's Catholic, actually. I talk to her every afternoon, and every now and then we'll come up to spiritual topics, and, you know, you can't be more different than Catholic and pagan. And we will sit and have conversations, and she will tell me what she thinks and what she's learned and what church has taught her, and then I'll tell her my perspective. And I cannot tell you how many times I have learned things from this 65-year-old woman that has changed my perspective on how I have thought of certain things. It's not that I have turned around and agreed with her, but listening to her has opened possibilities to me that I never thought of before, because I don't come from her background.
Well,
it's amazing what you can learn from someone else.
It is, and I think to be open to dialogue, because, you know, for me, Christ in me, the best way I can tell you about Christ in me is if I walk that walk, if I'm approachable, if I'm loving and I'm compassionate, hopefully you see Christ in me, and that's the best story. It's what he's done for me.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's better to walk away from a conversation having somebody say, you know, I met this really nice Christian lady. I met this really nice New Thought person. I met this really nice Unitarian who flies in the face of everything that you see on TV about people putting other people down and saying they're evil and they ought to go to hell. You know, you hear all of the news is about those people that want to burn the Quran, the people that want to limit your rights because it doesn't fit their beliefs. And you don't hear about the people that are actually walking the talk because they're not loud. They're not controversial. But they're out there. You can find them.
Yes. Yes. And hopefully what I'm doing, and that's the goal of this show, is, yes, I am Christian. I am, you know, I am. But I tell me about you. It's about telling me about you, and let's dialogue. You don't have to agree with anything I don't have to, but I at least need to know what you're thinking. I think sometimes we even shut down, and sometimes things that we sprout on may not even be truth because you haven't really taken the time to talk to somebody about that.
Right.
So
You don't have to. Learning about someone else doesn't mean you are going to become what you're learning about. It just means you're learning about someone else.
Exactly. And that is a good way for us. I want to tell you how much I have enjoyed the conversation, just as I have never met you, but all the people that I have met through our Facebook pages, I just feel like, wow, some great people. And I plan on inviting more people to the show. Would love to have you back anytime. So
great.
Thank you for sharing your knowledge and your information. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure. I hope you have a good evening. It's evening now. Hope you have a good evening.
I will, and you too. Thank you so much, and I'm sure you've helped a lot of us answer some questions, settle some nerves about this whole process of writing your thesis or dissertation. Good luck to everybody that's doing it. I'm muddling through it too, but you know what? We're all going to get through. Thank you, Spring Wolf, and this is Linda. This is Soul in the City, and this is Monday's Life Class, and it was for you. Thanks a lot. Thanks, Spring.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.